5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You are listening to Flowing with Famous Your Fresno Podcast. I am Joshua Teehee, and with me here, as always, Mike C of the Dorktown Network of Podcasts. Mike,
hey, how are you? I'm with you. I'm good. How are you, sir?
Yes. I'm doing very well. We've made it through into March.
Yay!
So now we're on the downhill slide of the year.
We're approaching the good warmness that I like.
Yes, yes. The heat will be here before we know it.
Yeah.
We've made it through the dark days of winter.
Yeah.
And now we're in that section right now. I feel like that, I don't know, maybe it's 2-3 weeks we got less. Of like just nice overall nice weather,
right?
All day long, you know.
Yeah.
As it gets toward the spring and into the summer, we have the nights. Days can be kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. Nights are always nice. In the dead of summer, it's just, you know, it sucks all around. Yeah. And then, you know, once it gets back into fall and winter, then it's just kind of crazy. But there is this magical, I don't know, yeah, 3-4.
This weeks. Is our spring, folks. Enjoy it. Everyone makes the jokes of like
it.
There's a one day of spring in Fresno.
Yes, this is it. There's it. The blossom trail.
Yeah.
If
oh
you
yeah.
See the
everything's
blossoms,
blooming.
Yes. When blooming, you that's bro. When you know, and you immediately
stop.
Jump out and enjoy it.
Yeah. Stop.
Because it
run around.
Be right.
Go. Whee! Go.
Because okay, take your allergy medicine first.
Right. Yeah. Take your
load
Flonase.
Up on your Zyrtec or whatever. Go out, enjoy yourself, because it's not going to last mm-hmm. very much longer. It'll be hot before
I
you
gotta
know.
I got to get up to the snow before it's gone. We have not.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I've been terrible dad and not brought my daughter up to the snow yet. And
That's no good.
I'm waiting. Like, come on. Let's get the one more good snow up there. So
one more good.
Get up there.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that could still happen, I think, actually.
Yeah. That March, March can give us some of that.
Yeah.
But we're in a bad way for water right now. So we're like,
right.
Mark Grossi's talking about how we're like real, we're at right now, we're in a trajectory of like one of the driest seasons ever. So
really,
we're needing a big,
yeah. I mean, that makes savior. Sense because even when we had that last big, rain
yeah.
push. And we got a lot, like we got, you know,
a lot at
inches.
Once.
And it was like for the seasonally or whatever, like for that particular day, month, like whatever, it was a lot. But if you looked at like our overall rain totals for the year, we were still like way down, mm-hmm. like way under what we normally are. So, I could totally see that. Yeah.
All right. Well,
too bad. All right, let's jump in.
Let's go, bro.
What we got?
Woo!
What we got?
Fresno.
What's happening in Fresno?
Pump it up. Well, we're on national television and animated form.
Animated form, national television. Super cool. I started seeing this pop up. It must have been fairly recently that the episode aired.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cartoon called The Great Northern with
the Great North, yeah,
Great North, Great Northern with Nick Offerman and Amy Poehler.
Mm-hmm.
On a side note, I watched the first few episodes and I couldn't really get into it. But apparently I missed the episode.
One of the characters is from Fresno.
One of the characters
is a Fresno native
from Fresno.
I have the clip here. We can play it.
Oh, okay. Let's play it. Yeah. Because it's funny.
It's not every day I get to interview a sophisticated big city woman. I guess my first question is, tell me everything.
Well, Judy Pye, I'm a Fresno native, as you know, and everything was blazing in the big race.
Blazing in the big race.
Fresno City College, and Fresno had everything a hungry young entrepreneur could want. Valet parking at many of our mid-range restaurants and hotels, multiple
true.
Loosely Italian-inspired coffee shops, and a beautiful office of class floor. The only problem was my parents.
Got
were they cursed?
What? No, they're people, not ancient artifacts.
Right.
They're not cursed. There you go. There was our Fresno.
That's awesome. And the cool thing is, the thing that I thought was the best about it was they actually had the Fresno sign, and it looked legit.
It was like, it was the Fresno sign. None of the rest of it was Fresno. It was all pretty
right.
Was the Fresno
they
sign.
They did say Fresno City College.
Yeah.
Fresno
I was City like, College, yeah.
Shout out.
Yeah. Go Rams.
Someone on
Rocky Brody Mash was the one. A few people put it out there on Twitter, but Rocky's the one that got took off. Rocky's the one that took off, but and then somebody was like, and they were, I think Rocky and Brian were debating, like, somebody's has to be from Fresno that works on that show,
because that's usually how it happens, right?
And they got a hold the writer on Twitter, and he actually replied, and he said it was just they needed a generic city that would be big to them in Alaska, and they chose Fresno. Right, wasn't any underlining thing against Fresno or for Fresno. It was just Fresno happened to be.
Didn't he say in one of the tweets that he did a bunch of research and now like they're all like, Fresno,
he's like, I'm all in from Fresno now. I'm a Fresno guy now.
People love. So. Anyway, I think to me, it was just really cool to see the sign. And someone had posted, I guess The Simpsons had an episode where they went, it was like the Skywalker Ranch or whatever. And it was like formerly Fresno,
California.
Which just shows that they don't know anything about Lucas or California, I suppose. But but it was really, I thought it was
Blazin' and the Big Raisin. Everyone's going to be calling it the Big Raisin now.
I think that's great. It's so funny to me, actually, that like that's the thing that continues to hold with people, because how long has it been since the California raisins were a thing?
Yeah, that's
like how
right.
long is that?
It is surprising how much in the zeitgeist things are across the country. Like,
okay, so Sunmade is in Fresno now. Mm-hmm. Actually, like their headquarters.
I got that prominent building on Palm and Herndon, man. It's all in your face.
But still, like, really, the raisin capital of the world is Selma. Like, they're the one. Right. They have the sign. Like, they got. Filled out the paperwork or whatever, you know, so
they've got the copyright on Raisin Capital.
So to me, it's I don't know what Fresno should be known for. Obviously fig trees are gone now, so we can't be, but
it's almonds
raisins
now.
Raisins wouldn't be, I mean, so obviously we're an ag place, although I don't personally feel Fresno. I don't feel like Fresno, like as a city, represents, to me at least, represents that. Fresno County certainly, and like once you get out of the great Fresno area, it's everywhere.
Yeah,
I don't really necessarily get that feeling, at least from
not in
like
the city
in
so much, but
I
think
like I don't feel like we're an ag, like I wouldn't, there's nothing specifically about Fresno that makes me feel like it's an ag town, right?
Once you, yeah, different when you're, like, if you just stayed, Globus, if you just never left the city limits, you might, and somebody came up to you, oh, Fresno, like, ag, and you're like, I guess, I don't see.
Right. I mean, people do talk about that a lot, and we do definitely have, like, lots of, like, food and restaurants and
I
stuff.
I think it's just that, that farmer's market at Shaw and Blackstone is good. But like we don't, and I know River Park has one, and we have these pop-up-ish farmers markets, but like we don't have that Seattle, like the market in Seattle, which we should. I mean, we've always talked about we need that definitive style of market that like permanent, like, look, this is our farmers market spot somewhere in downtown,
and we did. You know, there was the Fresno Food Expo, Food Expo, whatever they called it. Mm-hmm. You know, which I think was kind of played into that. But even that, at the same time, like, it's not the Raisin Festival, you know?
Right.
who has the race. So it's like, it's weird.
I think
to
that,
me.
I mean,
but I always felt like, I think it's just,
go ahead.
No, go. Yeah.
I feel like the, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about, but I feel like the people that own all the ag in town don't really do stuff for the community that much. I mean, there's probably stuff I'm not seeing, but they're not like, they're just making their money and living on Venice Extension and not really doing anything, you know, like they're not,
I think. Right.
So if you're in the San Jose, you know, I'm sure Google does a bunch of shit around town and
right.
And there's they're propping up the area. Their industry is propping up the area and you can see it. Where here in Fresno, you don't really see the ag industry doing much in the city.
In the same way. Yeah, maybe. I'm sure they are. And I definitely know that, like, you know, if you go to Fresno State, for instance, you want to know who any of the buildings are named after, chances are it's somebody related to.
That's true.
And you know, that sort of thing. But you're right. Like, we don't see it in the same way. It's interesting. I think most of it's just a holdover. I think it's just so much of it's a holdover from the Grapes of Wrath time. Like, you know, when people came out here, and I think that's like, people still envision, that's how they still envision Fresno, as being this like kind of dusty in the middle of nowhere, like ag town. You know, sandwiched between like awesome Los Angeles and awesome San Francisco, you know?
Mm-hmm. Which is funny to me because
like looking back at old Fresno, like Jesus Christ, I wish it was more like that. Like you look at like downtown Fresno and you're like, oh boy, how awesome that would be. But, I don't know. It's cool. Anyway, it was nice to have. So obviously, poking a little fun at Fresno.
Yeah, it was it didn't cross a line to piss us off. It was like, that was okay. Because it was like, the only really jokes were sort of these generic jokes. Like I said, several Italian-inspired coffee shops. An office supply store. So, I mean, they weren't targeted jabs. They were just like jokes. You could tell they're just jokes. They weren't like at the expense of Fresno.
At the expense of Fresno specifically, but kind of at the expense of
a small, big town
that in Alaska would seem like a big, big town.
You're right.
You know? Yeah. So that was really cool. I'm glad that happened. Thank you to those people for putting it out. Thanks to the Twitter and Fresno Twitter. I'm going to say Fresno Twitter. I had never thought about it before, but Fresno does have a Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're a Fresno
Twitter. I mean, that was the most evident when the whole Firestone flap
happened. Fresno Twitter showed
Fresno up. Twitter came out.
Yes.
It was like...
So, thanks, Fresno Twitter, for it's awesome. I feel very blessed to be part of Fresno Twitter because I just got roped into that whole thing and just went along for the ride. This is great.
Twitter's never going to amount to anything.
Right.
Twitter's like, I guess like anything. It's like too much is bad. A little bit's fine and too much is bad because at Twitter, you can just go down a rabbit hole and like never leave it all day. You know what I mean? Like
scrolling. Yes. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
I scroll Twitter way too much and sometimes
and sometimes that's fun.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's a lot of fun. Sometimes you just want to like scratch your eyeballs out.
I'm like, I need to start doing things in life right now.
Right. You just throw your phone away.
Somebody give me off Twitter.
All right.
This one, I haven't thrown this by you yet, so I'm interested in what you're going to do, because this one's kind of rough far as factions of, like, you know, you might have a civil war of opinion on this.
Between us, we're usually on the same side.
Maybe. Yeah, I know.
Okay.
The Well, there's two new developments being thrown out there. I think one's pretty much going to happen. The other one is still being planned at Blackstone and Shaw. So there's the one around the farmer's market vineyard place that it's going to be sort of, from the looks of it, it's going to be within that. It doesn't look like it's going to tear down that whole vineyard thing where they do all that. It's going to just be built all around it. And so there's going to be like a retail shop on right on Blackstone. And then there's going to be like a sort of housing units behind it and sort of built in around it. And that seems like that's just going to, there's no one really opposing that.
Normal kind of,
But across from it, that lot that's always a Christmas tree lot every year.
Skookums, I think it's called.
Yeah, yeah, right. Skookums. Right there on the old fig side of the Shaw. Yeah, I got my tree there many times.
But, new old fig. Right. But I guess it's still old fig.
Yeah. They're right going there. There is a planned housing development called The Glen, and it's going to be five stories and 126 units. And this is all part of this sort of infill. You know, they're getting a lot of money from the government because it's infill and all this stuff. And the issue is that it's just not, it's a neighborhood, beyond that Blackstone side of it.
Sure.
It's a neighborhood. It's an old fig neighborhood of houses maybe a little bit of apartments there. And so, the residents around there are like, dude, 126 units, and the original plan is just one parking stall per unit. And now the people are building it are trying to make it half a parking stall per unit.
So I heard them talking about this on KMJ, on whatever the show that Chris Daniel got replaced, Skip and Phillip. I don't normally listen to it, their show, but they were talking about this, and I found it interesting. I haven't seen anything about it, like the project itself, so I don't know what it looks like. I don't like whatever. But just from the concept of it, I'm all about it. Like, I think this is exactly what Fresno needs. Like, tell me where else there's a five-story apartment complex, like in Fresno. Mm-hmm. So, like, if it's cool, like and again, I haven't seen the concept, so I don't really know. But if the concept looks nice and they do it, it's going to be done well and like whatever. I think, of course, we need this. This is the thing that we need. And I understand the thing about parking, but again, here it's like, it's a question of how we want to move towards something other than, car centric like lifestyle. And like, I live in an apartment complex where there is not a parking space. Like I do not have a parking space. Like I don't, I park on the street and sometimes that sucks and I have to look for parking spaces. That probably is going to really suck for that particular, complex at first, because they probably don't have a lot of parking infrastructure around it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But to me, it's like, yes, we can live. People can live with having one parking spot. You don't need more than one parking spot per thing, I personally think that. And I think we have to make if we want to make a move away from being a car centric, being a more dense, having more density, being more like, if we want to make that move, we have to do it. And it's going to mean some concessions for people. There's going to be a big five-story complex someplace that might infringe on, part of your neighborhood. Yeah, it might be if you want to live there, you might not be able to have, your three-car garage or whatever. And people will just have to sort of make those decisions. And, So to me, I think the more of that we have, the better. If it's done right, and it's cool, you know, and it
right
and it re- and it works, I have no problem with it. I mean, I think, you know, now is that the best place for it? You know, I don't know. Those are all like issues. You know, would I be mad if that thing was going next to my house? I mean, possibly, but then again, you know, I live in an apartment downtown, so whatever.
Well, your area is, you know, it's just ready for that. Not, I don't know, say ready, but like it can soak up that kind of thing. But like, we're talking about a residential area with a 5-story building and 126.
But is it? I mean, how much units of a residential area is it? I mean, it's not like, well, they're putting that thing right in the middle of a housing tract. It's on the outside of, you know, and so. I don't know. To me, and the other thing is, the question is it zoned for that or not? And I believe it is, you know. So to me, it's like, it would be one thing if the developer was coming in and saying, like, I want to do this. And the city was going, well, like, man, it's not really, it's not mixed use. So we're sorry. And then they say, well, we're going to get it rezoned or whatever. That would be an issue. But it sounds like, from what I've heard, that like, what they say they want to do is totally within the usage rights of that particular parcel of land. So to me, I think, you know, I think it's the kind of thinking that we need more of. And again, you know, whether or not this individual project is good or not, I don't know, because, you know, who knows, developers are developers. But at the same time, I think moving in this, you know, in that direction is great. How many, I mean, seriously though, how many do we know? How many 5-story?
I don't know that there's any.
How many 5-story buildings?
Well, there's that one down. There's that one downtown. Is it on Broadway? That right there by the overpass. That's kind of by Warner's over there. That's I don't know what the name of that building is. It's just west of Warner's. You know, when the overpass goes over the train tracks and stuff, new overpass they built a couple years ago. There's a building right there. I feel like it's like 5 stories.
I don't know
what that building's called. I think it's only
3 stories.
Oh, maybe.
But I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about. But it's definitely, it might be more, but yes.
Well,
I don't think it's, I mean, so it's just like, we have so few of these kinds of, and like, if we want to move toward having more density, and I think we have to, because we have a housing shortage, and there's a limited resources in terms of land, we can't continue to do the same kind of shit that we've been doing forever, which is like these single, even we'll build apartment complexes, but they're sprawling and they're all single story. So we have to start building up.
Yeah.
So to me,
I'm with you. Everything you're saying, I agree with. And I love infill, and I think this has been happening a lot more lately. And maybe it's because of that Fresno plan. Maybe it's just, what's happening, but the concept of a 5-story building sounds good, and we need it. Being along Blackstone Corridor, making Blackstone Corridor more residential, more walkable, sounds great. But the realism of 126 units, and they're trying to make it half a stall per, you know. Resident.
That's wild. I don't even know. I mean, I guess I know it. Yeah.
I feel for those people living in Old Fig around that they'll never have parking in front of their house again. There'll be somebody parked in front of their house forever.
Well, I mean, unless
they do it all, that area's all permitted, like you permit around the school.
And I bet that's what the Fig Garden Homeowners Association will do. you know, I mean, because that's what they've done around lots of Fresno City College, you know, because, you know, they so many people were parking in the neighborhoods that a lot of the neighborhoods just got together.
Right.
You know,
yeah, that's the same concept.
You go to the city and you petition, like, whatever. So I'm sure the and you know, maybe the homeowners association just puts that fee into their you know, homeowners are saying that's just an added fee that, you know.
And then to the traffic, that's a lot of like, we're, you know, I would like to think that Fresnans would be like, all right, I don't need a car, I won't get, you know, that sounds good. But the realism is, like, we're addicted to having a car, so we just gotta be like, it's 126 units, there's gonna be over 126 cars.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They just are. And I don't want it to be like that. And I know we've got to make steps to sort of get our mindset around not having a car all the time.
Right.
And right. So we need this for that. But and that's also a lot of traffic there already. Like, I can't imagine trying to get onto Shaw from out of there. Right. You know, with that, you know, people are going to have to let you in, and Fresnans are not good about letting people in. We almost like all need to go through a training course of like big city driving. Like, you don't block intersections, guys. You don't block in front of a street. You don't block that. You leave that be. But people, we don't listen to that here. So I'm just, and then so that whole old area of Old Fig is going to be a lot of more traffic and a lot of just the car. The concept of all those cars added to that little area. Right. It's tough for me.
That is the truth about it. There is kind of like a chicken and an egg thing where it's like, you know, you're sort of giving people this thing that where it's like that makes it more difficult to own a car,
which is good. Like, I like that concept,
right? Which is in one way good. But then at the same time, there's, unless we continue to build the infrastructure to make that a viable option, then all you're doing is putting people at another disadvantage, you know? Mm-hmm. So I do agree with that. You know, it's like, well, we need to, you know,
we need to up our game. I'm sort of for all of it, except for like the traffic and parking issue is just tough.
But it's, you know,
really got to be dealt with in a realistic way.
The other question is, okay, so if that's, you know, keeping that, like, where else does it go?
Yeah, I mean,
you know, because I think that's the other thing is like, if we keep doing like, this could just go on forever of people just pushing going, well, like, well, it shouldn't go here, where it shouldn't go here, where, you know. And there are some places they're building, I think, like kind of a similar-ish deal on
Blackstone and McKinley, huh? Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I hear they're already starting on that. It's already going.
It's all framed up and stuff. And that to me, I think, makes sense. Although we were driving by the other day and I was like, man, that'd be cool to live there. And my friend was like, you really want to live on the train tracks? I was like, oh, yeah. Because it just kind of almost
to it. Yeah, it is right there, huh?
And I was like, well, that's a good point.
You get used to it. I mean, you're pretty close to train tracks anyway.
So. Yeah, that's true. You know, and I lived right there before. I lived like on Clinton and Monroe for a while with a train skating. And kind of get used to it. And I think some of that may be mitigated once high-speed rail comes in too. Because I think, I don't know exactly where, I don't know. Because, yeah. Anyway, I don't know. I totally agree with the, you know, questioning where these kinds of projects go. But at the same time, it's like the, you weigh the benefit and it's like, this is the direction I think that Fresno needs to move into. I think the Blackstone corridor is a perfect plate, like, spot for it.
I agree. And I like the concept of making the Blackstone corridor more residential, like, you know, building up. But I just, the infrastructure has got to be there. You can't throw 5-story buildings on there and not do anything. And I know there's part of this project has like money earmarked for improvements around there concerning that. And
yeah,
I guess I would have to see that being a lot very aggressive. Right. Like, I just don't trust developers to go all the way with that stuff.
Right. What needs to be done.
Like the infrastructure. I mean, we've seen so much of it on the west side. All the stuff that's sort of west of 99 is just such hodgepodge, and like the developer make the street right in front of their development good, and then it stops, and then then you're on a bumpy ass country road for a while,
and dead end.
That. So I'm just like concerned that developers just gonna be like, they're gonna do the barest of minimum for infrastructure around it, and I just don't trust them.
Yeah,
but the concept is good. I'm just worried about the reality.
And I think rightfully so. And I think we have had a long, like what you're saying is like, if we look back on what has been done historically, there's not a very good track record necessarily of these things being done, nicely and sort of. And so, yeah, it's, and especially with something like this that is for Fresno, like a kind of different thing, you know, it really is a new concept.
Right.
And so,
more building up. I just got to watch it. Watch them.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Keep an eye on these guys, these developer guys.
For sure. For sure.
Oh, well, should we update the Tower Theater Venture Church?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
That right now, as we're speaking, we're in it's a good spot because Sequoia's won their, or at least got them to pause.
They pause everything
for the moment.
They won their initial court case, so the sale has been put on pause until they can meet again. And I think it's in the middle of March is when they meet again. So we're on the, essentially like the third month of this, or the third month of like people knowing that the place was for sale, and the sort of the controversy or whatever. But essentially, yeah, where it stands now is, you know, Sequoia sued in court the owner of the theater and also the church, essentially saying that they broke their lease agreement. And in the lease agreement, it said that the owner has to notify Sequoia within a certain amount of days, and then Sequoia has the first right of refusal to buy the property. And whether that means their specific property or the entire property, I think that's kind of like a little up in the air because there was some language in the contract about like parceling it out or not. So whatever. But and so they took the owner and the church to court, essentially saying that didn't happen, that the owners did not notify them. And furthermore, that the Adventure Church knew about the contract, and they knew that the owners were supposed to tell them and had first right and all that, and actively worked to keep that from happening. Essentially, I think they're saying that, you know, the owners in Adventure Church were just trying to do this real quick on the sly, get it done before anyone knew. So they won Sequoia, the owners of Sequoia Brewing won that court and won that case. And so now it's moved, to March. But I mean, I have no idea what's going to happen with this because, I suppose that one way that could go about it is, the court decides that yes, Sequoia Brewing Company does have first right of refusal and they could buy the building.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is where it comes in, where I don't know if, what they would suggest would be what the court would suggest is like, well, you parcel it up, Sequoia buys their part, Adventure Church still gets the rest, right? Because I think that's something that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if like if they say that, if it'll be like, yep, you have a chance to buy the whole building, and then if Sequoia Brewing Company even has the means or the want to do that, And, you know, so to me, I feel like it's, I kind of feel like the only real way out of this where the church doesn't get the building and then, you know, begins the rezoning process. The only way that doesn't happen is if the city steps in and sort of reclaims it, you know, claiming a public good, mm-hmm. and then they do with whatever they do with it. I you know, and I think that's what happened to the Fox Theater in Visalia, if I'm not mistaken, was a very similar thing. And the city came in and said, you know, we believe that this theater is important to the city and the culture of the city. And so they bought it. And then I don't know if they, you know, there's a non, if they created the nonprofit or whatever, but there's a nonprofit, I believe, now that runs it. And I personally think that's probably the best outcome for it, because then it kind of takes it out of an individual's hands. And so then we never have this problem again. You know, we'll never have a problem of, right, like somebody deciding they just don't want to be a part of it anymore, mm-hmm. and having to find someone to hand it off to. And, yeah, you know, the Warner's Theater is set up in much the same way. And I think that, you know, there are issues with that, obviously, you know, because it's like, okay, well, then it's only as good as the board and blah, blah, blah. But I think it's a much better scenario. And then I don't know what happens. You know, I don't know what happens if the church ends up, you know, if the sale goes through, church gets their, you know, gets it. Uh-huh. The city will definitely force them to, you know, get to rezone that. However they do the rezoning,
they gotta be, for it has to get approval.
I think, right. So I don't think it's like a rezone. Like, I don't think they rezone the whole area. I think they exempt the building from the thing is how I believe it works. So they like rezone that parcel outside of the rest of the thing. I think that's how it works. Uh-huh. And yeah, I don't know if that gets passed. You know, I don't know if that, because there is, you know, it has to go through whatever. There's the Tower District specific plan, like whatever, all the different like groups that it has to go through, planning commission, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know if the church has, you know, a good enough case to argue against it, or enough people, uh-huh, in support of them.
Right.
There's definitely enough people not supporting,
yeah,
you know, to really, to make, so like, think about it.
So you're saying, like, even if they do buy it, that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be able to do what they want with it.
Correct. But then the question is, then what happens with it?
Yeah.
You know,
well, then they'd have to flip
they
it.
They can't, right. They can't do church services there. But, you know, if they own, so, you know, that's the question.
It's just these guys, Adventure Church people, are just, they're just not cool people. From what I've just, this whole thing has played out, has just been like, they're very combative about it. They're not very like, they're not very sorry that they're doing it. They're like, we're doing it, bros, eat it.
Well, I got an email from this woman at work yesterday or the other day. And, you know, she was essentially like wanting to know, like, all these people were saying save the Tower Theater. Like, what do they want to save it from? Are they just wanting to save it from, you know, the Christians? And essentially making that argument that, you know, I've heard about, like, well, it's not, if the Tower District is known for being so inclusive, mm-hmm, then why are they excluding Christians from being? And it's like, that really...
It's not the issue. That argument
has never been the real crux of it. Mm-hmm. And like, there are arguments you could make against the church, and a lot of people are, that the church specifically and their stance on, you know, LGBTQ, mm-hmm, and you, yeah, know, all, any plethora of other things. And you know, if there are their video of the pastor. And so whatever. So there are those arguments, but really the argument comes down to, what is an appropriate use for that building? And the fact that the city and the neighborhood came up with a set of rules for what they think is specific, what they think is appropriate use of that building. And they have said that church services, religious services, is not an appropriate use for that building. Mm-hmm. That's just what they did. And they came up with that, like, you know, it wasn't like they just came up with that out of thin air. Like they, you know, right.
There's a purpose planning in that. Don't open up a liquor store on the church property. Correct. You don't go like, what you guys got against liquor stores?
Right.
And so, you'd be like, well, you're right next to us, a church. Oh, whoa. Big deal. Right. So I'm just so flabbergasted that they don't understand the concept. They can't, of
right. And so I think
being the Tower Theater.
Right. And so I think the problem that that's the problem is that they want to use the building in a way that it was not intended and is not legal to use. I mean, that's the bottom line. Mm-hmm. Nobody
has any problems with St. Therese being down the street.
Right. And this is what I told this lady, like smaller churches are acceptable, you know, like if they want, you know, even on that strip, I think you mm-hmm. would be able to have a church in a building under whatever, however many square foot. You could have a mega church, just not within that specific area and not in that building. So mm-hmm. it's like, and that's not unique to this city. I mean, it's anywhere, like anywhere you, and we were just talking about, you know, like that space on Blackstone and Shaw, it is zoned for a specific purpose. And if you wanted to put something there that was not for that purpose, you would have to get it. You know, so if I wanted to build a manufacturing plant, I couldn't put it on that part of, you know, Shaw right. and Blackstone because it's not zoned for it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's not zoned for it because it's not appropriate for it to that place to be there. And it's right. the same way that it's not appropriate to have a church of that size in the middle of an entertainment nightlife district. It's, right. you know, and so, and that's the whole crux of it. And my issue is that if the church believes that's incorrect, totally fine. Then they have the right to seek to get the thing rezoned. So, but to me, the fact that they don't want to do that is problematic. Or the mm-hmm. and the fact that they don't even seem to believe that they should have to do that. That
right.
you know, they have this thing of like, well, we should be able to go wherever we want. Well, okay, then I should be able to open my manufacturing plant wherever I want, or I should be able yep. to open my shop.
I want to open up a hardcore club on people's church right. his property.
Right.
What's right. the brawl?
And I mean, and you saw this same thing play out when Hustler Superstore wanted to be there on show, right? There were yeah. a ton of people who just like freaked out, and ultimately that store was within their right. You know, to mm-hmm. to be where they were, but people were freaking out about it. And so to me, it's like, it's not, I don't see how people can't understand, like, don't see why people are upset about this. And I think part of the reason is the rhetoric on both sides is really playing hard toward the religious thing mm-hmm. and toward this specific church. So the church is making it 100% about religion, you know, and they're saying yeah. like, well, you just hate us here because we're Christians or whatever, which is not the case. And on the flip side, the other side, I think, and they're doing slightly better job of it, but still, you know, there's a lot of people out there who are just like hounding on the church because they're of their stance on, you know, any number of issues. Yeah, well,
I think it's appropriate to point out though that they are not supportive of the gay and lesbian community.
I think that is 100% appropriate to point out, but I think it's outside of the larger issue, and the issue that really matters, and the issue that you can really fight on, which is that is not a legal use of that building.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not.
That's and the, so that, if, yeah, the, that the gay and lesbian argument is not going to win over anything technically. It's just, you know.
No.
So
no,
you got to focus on what the real issue is.
And that argument is definitely worth bringing up if the sale does go through and they have to get an exemption or a rezone. Then that's where you bring that in and you go, okay, well, this church has said this and this and this and this, and we know that this is the hub of this community. So you want to put this church in this building in this community, knowing these things. So that's when I think those arguments become more important is mm-hmm. when is, you know, if the sale happens, if the sale goes through and then the city, you know, really pushes them, then I think that's where you have to come out and get every piece of, you know, right. ammunition that you can to show that, like, no, this isn't, aside from being outside the legal use of the building, these actually might not be the best, Christian or not, mm-hmm. these may not be the best neighbors to have right. here, you know, so, but that's where it stands. And, you know, so I think by April, we should have a better idea of what's going to happen. But then again, maybe not. I mean, this could be one of those situations that just drags out. And to me, it's like, I would think if I was the owner at a certain point, it would get to be a bit too much.
Yeah.
And I would just say,
especially when you have the painted table that's wanting to give you the same money and with no right. issue, you know, no hassle.
Right.
The same. Right. They're acting like they're the only people that can buy the Tower Theater.
So, right.
And
yeah, it's interesting. I feel like everybody, like, I feel like the sides have dug in now.
Right.
And that's unfortunate because I think there probably is somewhere there's some middle ground of something that could happen that could be a good outcome for everyone. But because both sides, like all sides are dug in, it's just like, well, this is what's going to happen. So
we're going to have to, the courts and the city are going to have to figure it out.
Yep. And I do think in my mind again, and I don't know how it works out and I don't know if there's the political sort of capital to make it happen. But in my mind, or even the money, I mean, who knows, but, in my mind, that's, you know, the city has, if it moves beyond this, the city has to come in and just say, like, sorry, guys.
Right. This is not happening. You're not going to get zoned for this. So
why
bother keep going down this road?
Yep. We're going to public domain it. We're going to turn it into a, you know, we're going to create a nonprofit. The nonprofit will be run by blah, blah, blah. And we'll figure all that out. And maybe, you know, they'll put someone from the church on the thing or who knows, like, you know, but,
all right, yeah. Josh, let's get to some music. Band of the episode. And this, I want the listener to know that this is not Josh's idea. Josh did not want to do this, but I am forcing my hand I'm using all of my podcaster clout to push this through. And who is the band of the episode this week?
So it is, it's essentially me.
a project
I have called New Old Man. That's just like a kind of solo thing that I did. And I released a couple of songs, I don't know, last week, a couple weeks ago. Let's listen.
Yeah.
there you go. Different than I played it. I sent it to
not very Hammer Johnny Oakley. Rocket or
no. I played it or sent it over to Hammer at New Rock, and I think he was just like totally like blown away. Like, oh, I wasn't expecting, you know, because I've sent him stuff before, you know. And most of the stuff I do has a very, you know, there's a thing that's happening, I would say. Mm-hmm. And this is very different from that. So, but I think it's also, I don't know, it's something that I feel like I've been working, like I've had in mind for a long time, but have just never had the need or want to get it done because I've always had other projects happening, multiple lots of them. And so it's like, I never needed to do this because it's like, I have my other bands that I'm playing with. And but because of the pandemic and stuff, that, you know, I haven't had like a band practice in the same room with, maybe twice or three times in a year, and haven't played any live shows. And so, you know, I still like music and like playing music. So, you know, this was just an opportunity for me to like do something and keep busy and whatever. So, but I do think that it's not like I like it and I have some other ideas. So it's probably something that I will continue to do, you know, right, whether or not it becomes like an actual thing where, you know, we play, I mean, it is just me. So like, mm-hmm. You know, I can't, I'm not going to be playing shows or anything, you know? So
I think you should, you know, do a little tour, put together a little in-city tour of patios, yeah. patio tour
and just play. Yeah, I could do that. Little acoustic things.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, like all the songs that I have could probably be done that way if mm-hmm. I really wanted. But anyway, yeah, so you could find that New Old Man, and it's on Bandcamp. It's also up on Spotify and all those other things. And then,
how do you get on Spotify as a little indie musician?
You pay someone.
Oh, okay.
You pay someone.
CD Baby or something?
There's several. Yeah, I don't use CD Baby. I use a different one, but yeah. And they just essentially send it out to you. It's really cool. You pay them, I don't know, whatever it is, a certain amount a year. And then you just, you know, you upload your thing and then they send it out to every, so they just handle all of it.
Oh, okay. That's nice.
And there's probably a bunch of different ones. I think CD Baby actually does it. But yeah, so that's how you do it. And it's the easiest way. But then I was reading a bunch of stuff cause I'd never really most of the stuff I've done recently has been put up on Spotify that way. But, you know, there's all this stuff that you can do to get on Spotify playlists and all this blah, blah, blah and stuff. So I started like researching something and it's insane. Like it's crazy the amount of like work that you could do if you were really into it,
right,
to really like get it out there for people. And probably the same with Bandcamp and mm-hmm. other ones. So, but I'm all about Bandcamp. I use it a lot. Mm-hmm. It's where I listen to a lot of music. I think it's really good. They're very supportive of artists. They're doing another one of their Bandcamp Fridays where they
waive the fee.
They waive their fees. So usually most bands will be on Bandcamp, even if it's just like a secondary kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, so a lot, and maybe they won't have their whole catalog, but they'll have some stuff. So I don't know. I think it's a great, I like Bandcamp a lot. So I would tell people to go there.
All right. Well, go listen to some new Josh stuff. And one day,
thanks.
One day we'll have shows. Maybe by the end of the summer, we'll be ready.
Well,
what do you think? I'll throw it out to you, Josh. When will there be a live show in a building in Fresno?
Oh, in a building.
In a building.
I was going to say not in a building. It's going to be happening next week, you know, because.
Yeah. What's this thing happening
next week? But this thing, Barb Hop, which is essentially the guys from Barb's Soul Food and Barb's Drive-In. They have the drive-in downtown.
Mm-hmm.
They're essentially putting on an art hop. You know, they were tired of waiting. They missed art hop so much.
Mm-hmm.
that they were like, we need to have it. And so they're going to do music, food trucks, vendors, 4 to midnight on that first Thursday in March. And Fashawn's going to be headlining. They have a DJ who looks like is from London, probably coming in from LA, if I had to guess.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of other musicians, and they're doing it, you know. To the credit, I will say that they're very clear, like on all their stuff, that people need to mask up, like, and they see it's the, you know, they say there's going to be social distancing and hand washing and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's an event. It's a social gathering that they're putting on, you know, and yeah. Whether or not the organizers seem to think that it can be done safely, you know? And so part of it is like the car, like the drive-in thing. So, you could drive in and park and listen to it on your, stereo or whatever in your car. But you can get out, and it is open to walk in, so people can walk in and just hang out and like whatever. So
I'm not ready yet. Even an outdoor event, I'm not ready yet. But right. You know, I
don't
know what to say about outdoor events other than like I guess so. Like if you're gonna show up to a place for an hour and be responsible and stuff, I'm not gonna say anything about that. But it's just,
I'm
not ready for anything indoor. That's for sure.
Right. So again, I think I don't necessarily have a problem with it. And I don't know about this. Like, I'm not going to say that it's unsafe, like whatever. I will say that having events like that, like having something that is definitely a social gathering, to me, like right now, is not the thing to be telling people it's okay to do, you know, because I feel like what's happening a lot now is people are just like, yeah, we could go back to normal. We just have to wear masks or whatever, you know, like we just have to do these things. And I'm not sure if that's enough. Like, I'm not sure if that's enough, no, you know,
I agree.
And so, you know, I have no problem with them doing it. And like, I'm talking about it now because it's like, well, people should know. And, you know, I think they have good intentions in doing it, and they think they can do it safely. So more power to them. In terms of indoors, I will say Fulton 55 has a show scheduled in December. And I know this because my band, the Dan Ziggy Stardust, is on the bill with Metalachi and someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So that is scheduled. So December 2021.
Okay.
Certainly. I think they actually have something on book now before that, maybe in the summertime.
The weekend's coming next year, right? The weekend's coming to Saint Mart Center.
Yeah. So the weekend's coming in, but I think that's 2022. Yeah. So I think that, and I haven't actually looked, I think some of the casinos had music booked in June 2021, and so that could still be happening, especially if it's either of the casinos that have outdoor stuff, that still could be happening. But I don't know. So I mean, if it were me, so we're still in, we still might be in purple, red, man. Tier now. I think we've maybe moved into red tier, or we might be moving or very close to be moving into red tier. Like our new daily cases is the thing that's still keeping us from being there. I think the positivity rate, I think we're cleared on that now. We're under that 8% mark. But I think we still have too many daily cases per 100,000 residents or whatever. Anyway, so I don't know. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, for me personally, until if I have a vaccine, that might change things. But until then.
Right. I'm just like, if you're not vaccinated, you know, then you shouldn't be doing anything back to normal until you're vaccinated.
Right. So. Until then, I'm definitely, I mean, I couldn't, you know, And I mean, let's be clear that there are places that are having indoor concerts already. You know? I mean, like I won't call
in the country out. Or in the Fresno? No,
in Fresno.
Huh.
Like in Fresno, yeah.
More like just, underground, you know,
on the down,
things?
On the down low or whatever. So there are places that are doing it. And I think actually in the country too, but in, you know, various ways. So I don't know. It'll be interesting that we, that first concert back at the Save Mart Center, you know, and
that's going to be wild.
It'll probably be
the weekend.
I think they'll, you know, as soon as it's reasonable, I think that the national tours will start booking again.
Mm-hmm.
And once that happens, we'll see stuff popping up at the Save Mart Center before the weekend.
Okay.
I think so, but I think that to me, that'll be the first thing is like when they book and actually hold the first thing at the Save Mart Center and how that goes off, whether there's a bunch of people there, blah, blah, blah. So that's the big one for me. But again, you know, I'm not certain that I would go if I didn't have a vaccine.
Right. Yeah, I'm down. I'm just happy. Just finally happy. My parents have gotten their first around and my mother-in-law is tomorrow. And I'm not sure about my father-in-law. Yeah, this has been my whole thing is just like, get my family vaccinated and then I can start thinking about life again. But look, like,
I'm mad at everyone. Cause I know a lot of people who are my age.
Mm-hmm.
Who got the vaccine for various reasons, work, like whatever.
Not essential and still got it?
No, I mean, they're... So one of my friends actually got it because her husband is an essential worker, essentially. He qualified, mm-hmm. whatever, and it was through his work. And it was one of those situations where they had too much vaccine and not enough people signed up. So they opened it up, and she was able to go and get it. So... Mm-hmm. Totally, you know, whatever. And then everyone else, like, yeah, they're all, you know, or either most of the people my age, yeah, are all like in the categories, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so mad. I'm just like, oh man. I'm just like, oh. And I get it. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you wait your turn or whatever. But it just seems so like it just seems so haphazard right now that it's just like, it's just difficult for me to imagine like, well, I just want to do it already. Just let me sign up, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, both my parents are getting there and, yeah, it'll be good. I'm glad that we're getting through that.
I'm not qualified yet, so I haven't even been looking.
But, you won't.
I don't think I can till April. So
that's crazy. So your job doesn't qualify.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of weird. I thought
my job qualifies either. But I do actually help teach homeschooler kids Aikido. So
There's a
opening. Technically I fall in under an educator childcare. So that's coming up next week. So I'm waiting to see. So if the head instructor at our school is able to get one, then I'm definitely gonna do it that way. So we'll see if that plays out. But that's
hopefully this Johnson & Johnson one coming out will really open things up and speed speed up on it.
Well, and hopefully we'll get, you know, whatever other facilities up and running here locally, mm-hmm. that'll speed it up for people. But
by the way, I guess props to Jerry Dyer for getting on MSNBC.
So
a national television that the liberals place that hang out on the news channel and got on the most quote unquote liberal news place and
well, wasn't he also quoted in the
I think
one of those, like Washington
maybe
like I don't know,
but I would say respect for putting his party aside and doing.
Did you see the Fresno Bee editorial board last week? I think had a story that was essentially like, we were critical of Jerry Dyer when he started, and he has so far proved us wrong. So,
Yeah, so far so good. I mean, hopefully he hopefully he keeps it up and is like that. But so let's go to the. I mean, we're running along, but we can still do this. And this is a weird year for this, the weirdest of years.
Yeah.
But the Fresno Bee People's Choice Awards just came out. Yes. I was in my Sunday paper.
The annual People's Choice Award, the actual thing.
This is the early Fresno internet days. The Fresno Famous did their thing. You remember those days where? That was sort of our exciting awards show year. Was right. Fresno Famous's awards? What were they and called? That, yeah, were they? What? Did they call it something?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Famous but Choice. Famous. Famous?
Famous Choice Award?
I don't know.
I don't think
it was that blatant.
There was a,
So we had that, and then we had the People's Choice Awards, and debated heavily every year on. And so there, it's kind
of... the People's Choice Awards, you know, it's been, I don't know, does it say what year that it is on this? How many years they've been doing it?
I'm skimming to see if it does.
Because I think they've done it like 20 years or something.
That sounds right.
An amazing amount of years.
Maybe even more than 20. At least 20 years, I'm going to say.
And at the very beginning.
Oh, six. Oh, no. Never mind. Sorry. Fashion Furniture says 16 years in a row. People's Choice.
So at least 16 years. So at least 16 years. But. At the very beginning, it was like a crazy kind of thing because I think people maybe didn't understand it or the way that the voting was, like whatever. It was this thing where it would be like best Mexican and then it would be like Taco Bell.
It was for a while. Best
coffee and it would be like
Starbucks.
Or it'd be like best museum, Thomas Kincaid Gallery. It'd be like, what are you talking about? You know, it was just like, it was so clear, like, It was great to read because I think it was really like telling about Fresno's mentality.
Fresno, and who was reading the Bee and who was participating.
Right. Exactly. And that has changed, I think, over the years.
Mm-hmm.
It now is a better, like you may or may not agree with the choices, but they're at least within the realm of
it's like, more local.
Okay.
It's less Cheney for sure.
Yeah. You want to read some
of them? Let's see. Well, the easy one, because I think there's only three that would really qualify. The Art Gallery, Fresno Art Museum is the winner. With Arte Americas and M Street Arts Complex as 2 and 3, but
yeah, see that's read it. What's the best what
art gallery?
Best art gallery. See, that's interesting because like I would not, and I mean it is what it is, but I wouldn't qualify either. I guess Arte Americas does have a gallery, and so does the Fresno Art Museum, but
M Street. I don't know. Have I been? Yeah, I have been to M Street.
M Street. During our I don't know. See, this is one of the other things that I think. I think a lot of people, and there's a lot of categories where it's like people just do they remember, you know? Mm-hmm. And so they're like, I think M Street Arts had gallery space, you know? Whether or not maybe they do.
What do you think?
Okay.
Central Coast destination. What do you think's number one? Got number one spot.
Pismo.
There you go. Pismo's a winner with Monterey and Cambria, 2 and 3.
Monterey, huh?
Mm-hmm. I would have picked Morro Bay
and Cambria. I would have said Cambria would have been not my number one.
Yeah,
just from people that I know personally. But
right, I've never gone to Cambria. I mean, I've gone to Morro Bay, Cambria. But people not love- Cambria.
People
I need to
Cambria.
Go. I need to do a Cambria.
I think Cambria,
everything's open up.
I believe Cambria is even sleepier than Morro Bay.
Right. Oh, okay. I'm all about
it's
that.
It's like the it's like the sleepiest. Mm-hmm. Which is why
all I need is like one place, like one solid place to go out, you know, have food or beer or whatever.
I think they have that.
My hotel being nice, and then that's all I need. Like I don't need like a whole bunch of shit going on.
Then I think you would be set.
Cambria. I'm going to check out Cambria right now.
Okay.
Oh, she's nightclub. Like, why? You can't even do nightclub, but I mean, this year, but the Firehouse Lounge at Chick Chansey, number one, buddy.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Well, see, I guess it's probably the only one that's been operating.
Right.
Fulton 55 right. in the standard? All right. Well, I guess it's a I don't know clubs anymore. So even if it wasn't pandemic.
Right. So and it's no funny idea. Because, yeah, it's all of these things. It's interesting because it's like, so, you know, best nightclub. Well, what does nightclub really mean?
Yeah.
You know, like whose definition of nightclub? Because I guess Fulton 55 is a nightclub, but to me, it's like it's a music venue.
Star. I always just keep calling it Starline, but
you got to get into the food stuff. That's the part
Dinner, arts venue, theater is Roger Rockus, number one, and Sororian and Tower Theater there as well.
Tower Theater.
Sports bar, Doghouse Grill on Shaw, which I don't think of that as a sports bar, but okay. Mad Duck and Yard House. Yard House is.
Yard House is.
It's a sports bar, but the Mad Duck, I would pick Mad Duck, even though I don't think of it. It's a brew pub, but I guess you could think of it as a sports bar.
Where would a place that you would consider be a sports bar?
I guess those places like there's that place on the loop. What's it called? I forget what it's called. There's one on the loop that's like called itself a sports bar.
Right.
Bullard and
so I loop, but, I think that like Doghouse Grill is just like it falls into that because it's next to the campus. And so it's like where people go before they're watching Fresno State games. And so, so it just has a connotation with sports and sporting.
Yeah, whether I guess so.
And if you go there, there's sports on all the TVs that has the it's a very sports, like the aesthetic is very, you know.
I will let it go. I will accept that. That's fine. Let's see. I'm just we're thumbing through trying to pick out breakfast place.
Okay, this is always a good one.
Batter Up Pancakes wins.
Really?
Mm-hmm. On Cedar.
Okay, who else? Who else?
Finalist Benediction, which would be my pick. Benediction and the Train Depot.
Okay. Yeah, so Train Depot and Benediction would be the places that I would probably put on there. I'm surprised the Waffle Shop didn't make it.
on Blackstone? Then one of them
the
closed.
One that the one that got fined
over for not let's see. This is an interesting year, so to put this in, but best curbside heirloom is one for best curbside.
Who won
heirloom, which I would agree with because they got the the good food and they have the window easy.
I will say that they window they figured it out. They figured out curbside. I haven't been to a whole bunch of restaurants, but I do feel like they have that window. They really figured out how to do that, how to make it quick, how to keep it. Like, so I would agree.
And Westwoods and Casa Corona are in there as well. And I would agree with this. Casa Corona does a good job with their takeout. The Bullard one anyway. I have no idea what's going on at the Cedar one, but the Bullard one does a good job with their takeout.
Right.
So,
because
I do go there pretty regular. Casa Corona takeout. Let's see what else we got there. Oh, Chinese restaurant.
Okay,
Liu's Village on Gateway in Madera. Look at Madera.
Don't know anything about it.
Worked in Madera for 20 years and I don't know. I know the restaurant, but I've never eaten there somehow.
Well, should try it.
I don't know how it got in there, but good job, Liu's. And now I got to try it. Yeah. Shanghai on Blackstone was the finalist. And Hunan.
That's my parents.
On Cedar. Oh, yeah. The old school Fresnans are all about Shanghai.
Got it. character.
Like, if you talk to somebody older than us, or probably our age or older, they're like Shanghai, right. Shanghai. Like
Shanghai, yeah.
I went there. That was one of the places I went to before. One of the last places I ate out at before the pandemic was Shanghai.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But yeah, Shanghai has definitely the old school reputation of everyone's like, oh, Shanghai.
Right, right.
My personal choice is China Bistro on Bullard and West. But I'm a neighbor, neighborhood guy, so everything neighborhood
is. East-West China Bistro? I used to go there quite a lot, actually.
It's good.
My coworkers love that place, mm-hmm. so we would go there a lot.
It's good, and I like the little spot back in there, hidden, tucked away back in there with the little fountain, it's got a nice little patio.
I mean, for me, I appreciate a place like Ming's or Golden Tower.
Yeah,
like that's classic. The kind of. Although I also ate at for a while, I was getting takeout from Bamboo Chopsticks. This was long time ago, but just feel like hole in the wall kind of place.
I like that place,
and I liked it a lot.
Yeah, so. When I lived in the neighborhood before that was actually my go-to place.
Right, that's my style of Chinese food that I
Coffee House. Cup of Joy at the multiple location. Cup of Joy. I don't think I've ever had their coffee.
Who is there? Anyone else?
Dutch Brothers.
Oh yeah.
Which if you like sugar, make sure to go to Dutch Brothers.
So, that's a hard one. I would not put either of those places necessarily on my list. I would put High Top first, and then I go to Fulton Street more, but I feel like for me personally, like that Fulton is where I get my coffee beans and like whatever. High Top to me feels more of like an excursion kind of place for me to get whatever. That being said, Dutch Brothers and Cup of Joy, those are the ones anyone else in Fresno is going to put, obviously. You know, because they're the two most visible,
right.
Dutch Brothers especially. It's like, how can you not think, like, how can you not drive by any Dutch Brothers at any part of town and see those lines and not think like this must be the best coffee place? Like, you know, like it has to be. Like,
I need to go down.
And Cup of Joy, I think just being. They're just so visible, and out and about and whatever. Mm-hmm. So,
food truck.
All right,
big
this
one,
is a hard one,
big
this
one. Yeah. Oh yeah. We've got so many here. It's almost impossible.
I don't even. But go ahead.
But Benedictions, one
really
number one food truck.
That's an interesting one. I wouldn't have seen that.
La Elegante's taco truck is there as well. And the taco, Korean barbecue, that is it. I'm not saying it right. Probably taco or
man,
taco?
That's really funny because those are three like pretty old school food trucks. Like they're not very old, but in the food truck scene here in town,
right.
They're like, those are like OGs, which is probably why they're on this list.
Yeah.
Because there's so many new food trucks. I mean, there's new ones all the time, and there's some that are just like really, really, like really good and doing some really interesting stuff. And so I wonder what, Fresno Street Eats would say about those three, on their list. I mean, Taco to me, I love that place. I get the spicy spam, like whatever. So I don't disagree that those are three great trucks. Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
No, that one's not good.
Get two more. Let's get two more good ones.
Two more. Mexican restaurant.
That's a great one.
Casa Corona is the winner.
Oh, yeah.
Sal's and Toledo's are the other finalists.
Okay.
I don't disagree with any of those. I like Casa Corona. I like Sal's. I like Toledo's. I like Bobby Salazar's. I like all the Mexican restaurants around here.
To me, on that list, Sal's is my favorite. Obviously, I grew up in Kingsburg, so... Sal's was in Selma, and I I don't know. There was a long, for a big part of my life, I probably went to Sal's at least once a week, in Selma. So I, Sal's is like, you know, whatever, ubiquitous for me in terms of Mexican food. I really like, I like Los Ponchos. They have like the short rib tacos or whatever that I just think are ridiculously good. That's downtown. Mm-hmm. You know, Mexican food to me is a weird kind of thing because it kind of depends on what you want, you know, because it's like, so yeah. If I want a breakfast burrito, that falls under Mexican food, right? But that's a whole different place than if I'm going to go get dinner someplace, right? Or if I'm going and I want to get tacos, like, that's a whole different place
than
if I'm gonna get, you know? So I kind of think that it depends on, you know, if I want breakfast food, like,
yeah, we have such a, yeah,
like, am I going to go to Sal's? Maybe not. You know, I might go to Kuka's, but if I want something, you know, so
it's, yeah, the whole Mexican food is such a huge genre that it has all these subgenres. It's like metal. Mexican food in Fresno is like metal. You have, you're like, oh, I love metal. You're like, oh, what kind of metal you're talking about? Because there's like 20,000 different metals. And that's the way the Mexican food places are here. They're like all these subgenres.
Yeah. What are you looking for? Are you looking for? And I mean, I suppose that you could like say like, well, a taqueria isn't necessarily a Mexican food place, you know, like, or whatever. But anyway, that's my take on it.
Yeah. Sushi, I'm a fan of sushi, and I think Fresno is probably the most underrated sushi town and out there. So we have a lot of good sushi in town. Wasabi's wins it.
Of course.
Wasabi's is good. Got in there as Yoshino's, and I Love Sushi got in there as well.
Okay.
In this household, Edoya is number one sushi for us. But we're very
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The California roll there.
Go ahead.
I was going to just say that we're very sad about Maru closing.
So that's what I was going to say. Yeah.
I really like Maru.
Used to like Maru a lot. Is Sushi Day, is that a place
that's like on? Yeah, the one that's, is that where I Love Sushi? I'm like, there's that one that's on, I guess it's technically in Clovis, the on Shaw and just on the other side of the, all the car lots there on Shaw. There's one there that I think.
Yeah, so that's I Heart Sushi.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
No,
yeah.
This place is like on First and Alluvial or something.
Oh, okay.
So I've been to that place a lot and like it. You know,
the one
not
that's
necessarily a sushi place, but I really like. When I go there, I'll get a spicy tuna roll. Is Teriyaki Don on Cedar and Herndon?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a sushi place, really. It's like a teriyaki place. Yeah. But I feel like they're. Spicy tuna rolls, maybe some of the best in town. That's what I'll say.
La Boulangerie for a bakery, the garden. I don't disagree with that.
Okay. All right.
Not a huge in the bakeries, but.
Right.
I will say that you go into La Boulangerie and it's. It feels like a place that's going to be on a Food Network. Show, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Yeah. So I kind of appreciate it for that.
It feels like a place that's going to be on top of your list, right? For sure.
Like, if you're going to bring in somebody from the Food Network, you'd want to walk through the Boulangerie.
All right, give me one. Good right. Last category.
Let's do something media. We like the media here. So, local radio personality / team. I'll just add podcasting along with it. The B didn't offer this, but I'm going to say media. Let's see. We finalists are Josh. No, we're not on there.
I'm going to pick that actually next year because I feel like there are enough podcasts now.
We can be at least in there
that we could do it. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
Philip and Skip on KMJ are the number one radio personalities in town.
Really? Beating out the old Appleton, huh?
Yeah, Appleton's not even on here. It's the other finalists are JoJo and Gnarly Charlie on the Kiss Country, and then Greg and Dre on Q97. That's it.
Okay. Wow. I'll tell you Danny Solison on B95. That's my guy. All right. I don't listen to
I was like, you listen to B95?
No. I don't listen to B95 at all, but I follow him on Twitter and whatever on that. And he's great. We've back and forth for different things over the years for, you know, whatever. And he's just like the coolest guy and like whatever. So that's shout out. I will have to say I listened to over the last few days, I listened to Skip and Philip, whatever the afternoon drive, I guess it's called. Mm-hmm. I liked it. I think that they, at least on the segments that I heard, they were doing they were doing that thing that Chris Daniel did that I liked, which is where they were, topical, but not necessarily political, you know, like hard political lead in the same way that, you know, like Appleton, you know, I don't think you can turn into Ray Appleton without hearing, you know, some kind of rant about like whatever. And I feel like at least in the episodes I heard, like Philip and Skip were actually talking about topics, for instance, this project on Black Snow Shaw, in a really kind of just, you know, straightforward, like not too much, you know, politics, and it was good. It was like what I would want from a radio show, a local radio show, a local like talk call-in show. So,
yeah,
I think it's a good job. And I think it's a good, you know, I'm sure that we talked about it when Chris left and when they pulled Skippy over from New Rock or whatever. I do feel like it's a good fit, and I think they made a good choice. Someone called in the other day and like made some kind of comment about, and I can't remember even like how they said it, but essentially they were like saying like, "Oh, we don't hate you, Skip," you know, like that they thought they were gonna just hate her, and then they, you know,
right,
whatever. And she took it really well. She was like, "Okay, thanks."
That sounds like when you were in the Midwest, like I lived in the Midwest for a little bit, and then my wife and daughter went there to Arkansas a couple of years ago and just visit a friend. And whenever you're going out and they'll like, "Oh, where are you from?" And you know, say, "Oh, from California." I'm like, "Oh, that's okay. We'll let you I'm sorry. Bless your heart. We'll let you sit here." So they're just like, "Yeah, you're okay. Like, you're from a horrible place, but you seem to be okay.
But you're still all right. You're out here, so you're all right." That's great. All right. Well, I think we killed it. We killed it this episode.
It's been a little long. All right.
Hopefully.
Maybe we'll make the People's Choice Awards next year. Best episode of the year.
Right. Was there anything else?
I think we're good, man. There's always something else, but we got, you know, at some point we got to go live our lives, you know?
Right.
We can't be podcasting all day.
What if we did a 24-hour podcast?
Oh, we would. Dorktown did that one day. No, we didn't go. We didn't go a whole 24 hours, but we did a pod-a-thon where we just kept pod. The rule was like we had to get 10 people to call in while we're podcasting, and otherwise we would never leave. And
until that happened.
Yeah.
Oh, that's rad.
It started going log, and I cheated and like called, like pretended to be another person
to call yourself. Right.
So that we could
the
leave.
The thing about a 24-hour podcast is that then someone would have to listen to 24 hours of that podcast.
Right. Like, and who's going to do that?
Horrendous. I mean, I don't know. Terrible. It's so funny. Like, so I have been watching a lot of YouTube, and there's this video podcast. It's like a skate video podcast called The Nine Club. And they do weekly stuff. And they're usually like anywhere from 2 to 3 hours, like somewhere in that, you know. And I have to just do like half an hour a day over like 5 days, you know, because it's just so, it's just too much otherwise, you know. Mm-hmm. And they do a really good job of keeping it like, the pacing of it's like pretty good, so you don't ever feel like you've been sitting there for 2 hours. Yeah. But when I, every time I click on one and I look at the runtime, I'm just like, oh my God. So I feel like we're good. We're, you know, we're funny
monthly. You know, you certainly like, can't get sick of us. We're just once a month.
Right, right. That's the other thing. So you have a whole month to listen to it. So you can, you know, just
yeah, space it out. That's it. Yeah, you're supposed to listen to a half hour a week, and then it turns into a month.
You'll be fine.
Let's all right, so plug it up. Okay, I'll start it off. I also have two other podcasts, really three other podcasts, but two active podcasts. Dorktown will come back one day, I proclaim.
Okay.
But the Perfect Pour, every Friday Perfect we have Pour. A new show about craft the beer geek world. Drinking beer and with Nick and Josh, or Nick, damn it, Josh, Nick and Matt. Every week, and we are about to hit our 400th episode. We are coming close. We're a few away, so knock on wood, we'll make it. Very cool. A lot of local talk in there, so definitely talked about the. I don't think we want to get into the whole Zach's thing on the show, but. It's just to say that it's terrible that Zach's is not in that building anymore. And Zach's, respect to everything that Zach's has done for the brewery district. Yeah. I don't think the brewery district would be called the brewery district without Zach's doing that turning that building into, you know, all that blood, sweat, and tears that the Zach's did to make that building a brewery. The hoops they had to go through and everything they had to do for them, you know, they had to put themselves on the line for at Zach's, and the fact that they can't use that building anymore, it's just terrible.
And it's hard. It's a little heartbreaking.
It's rough. So I just respect to the Zach's.
Do we know just quickly if it's not exactly clear from there, but do you know if they're going to continue brewing?
Yeah, it's a little bit. Up in the air right now. They're trying
even
to
even if it's homebrew,
out
because, dude. I'll go to that guy's yeah. house.
I mean, the 411 it's sort of an incubator there, and they've got a couple of breweries in there that, you know, that's kind of over close to the 41 over there.
Yeah.
I think that it's possible for them to at least get like, you know, a keg or at least like a barrel in there, tank in there. And do something there. I think that's a possibility. So they're just kind of licking their wounds right now and trying to figure out what they're going to do. So hopefully something they'll be able to do something. Cause that's what they love. And that was their love of Zach's and them for them not to have it now. It's rough. So there's that. And then, get off my podcast, the Harrison Ford Show. Trent and I do when we can. Mm-hmm. We're kind of on a monthly schedule as well, but we have basically not been doing it for a few months here. So, but we are getting back to it, and Harrison has some projects coming up, so we'll be able to talk about that.
Awesome!
I'm gonna be working again. Harrison is vaccinated and ready to go. So
I saw that.
We're good shape. And the blog thefresnan.com, along with the newsletter. Fresno.substack.com. I'm just kind of turning that into an every other week thing, I think, because it's just been too much to try and keep up with. Because I have another newsletter that's a beer geek newsletter called Drinking and Thinking, drinkingandthinking.substack.com. And that one.
How it gets put together? Is that you just kind of like, I'm drinking.
Pretty much. Yeah, a little bit. I'm relaxing with my beer and sort of piecing together stuff to put on there. Yeah. That's enough of me, man.
Okay. That's a lot of stuff. So I will plug my day job at the Fresno Bee, FresnoBee.com, FresnoBeehive.com. And again, say, you know, a lot of times, if you like what we're talking about here, more information on those subjects can be found at the Fresno Bee, and not always by me writing them. And then I will plug my second podcast, which is an Aikido martial arts podcast called Aikido Discussed. So we talk about Aikido, but other things. That's a weekly podcast. Then I also have, I'm just following in your footsteps here.
People that are into the posting on the internet, blogging or whatever, this is the thing to do now. The Substacks,
whatever Mike does, I do. So yeah, so I have my own Substack. It's called Band Geek, and which I kind of stole from you from back in the day. But and it's just a weekly music newsletter. Right now, kind of focused on new music, like new music people are putting out, and kind of some newy stuff. You know, someday it might include like concert announcements and whatever other kind of stuff is that comes about. But
it's gonna get away from you. Rein it in.
That's kind of why I've just been keeping it the way I've been keeping it now. It's really just kind of a short thing, two or three little snippets every week, and sometimes they might be little interviews. But anyway, so
yeah, I love it. I read it every Sunday.
Geek with like 5
K's Ben, or E. Ben Geek.
Geek, Ben Geek.
That Substack.
Something like that. At Substack. So you can find that. And then
there should be a link. There should be a link in our show notes. Subscribe.
I think that's the easiest way to do it. And then it just pops in your little email. Yeah.
And so every Sunday you get a little information on Valley Music.
Then my various musical projects. So the new one is called New Old Man, and that is at the Bandcamp and all that. The older one is called Striking the Originals, and it's a punk band, and then it'll go back as the OG punk band from back in the day. And there's also probably going to be some other stuff coming soon from a project. I think it's going to be under the Downwinders, but that name might change eventually. But so there's a lot I'm doing on that end. And also Dan Ziggy Stardust, although that's just a live thing. But if you want to see us, we will be playing in December, fingers crossed, at Fulton 55.
All right.
There it is. All right. Well, I had a lot of fun. This was a good podcast.
Good stuff.
I mean, they're all good, but.
Enjoy your March, everyone. Enjoy it. Enjoy the nice weather. Stay safe.
Yes.
Keep your masks on.
Yeah.
Don't get crazy.
Mask the fuck up.
Mask the fuck up.
All right. I'll count us out then. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.